Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 4. Ambarish Maharaj offended by Durvasa Muni, text number 65. Ye Duragara Putrapta Pranan Vitam Imam Param Hitvamam Sharanam Yata Katam Tam Styaktum Utsahai Yay! Those devotees of mine who? Dara, wife. Agara, house. Putra, children. Sons. Apta, relatives. Society. Pranan, even life. Vitam, becoming wealth. Imam, all these. Param, elevation to the heavenly planets or becoming one by merging into Brahman. Hitva, giving up all these ambitions and paraphernalia. Mam, unto me. Sharanam, shelter. Yataha, having taken. Katam, how. Tan, such persons. Tyakthum, to give them up. Utsahe, I can be enthusiastic in that way, it is not possible. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Since pure devotees give up their homes, wives, children, relatives, riches, and even their lives simply to serve me, without any desire for material improvement in this life or in the next, how can I give up such devotees at any time? Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is worshipped by the words Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmane Hitaya Cha. Thus he is the well-wisher of the Brahmanas. Durvasa Muni was certainly a very great Brahmana, but because he was a non-devotee, he could not sacrifice everything in devotional service. Great mystic yogis are actually self-interested. The proof is that when Durvasa Muni created a demon to kill Maharaj Ambarisha, the king stayed fixed in his place, praying to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and depending solely and wholly on him. Whereas, when Durvasa Muni was chased by the Sudarsan Chakra, by the supreme will of the Lord, he was so perturbed that he fled all over the world and tried to take shelter in every nook and corner of the universe. But alas, in fear of his life, he approached Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and ultimately the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was so interested in his own body that he wanted to kill the body of a Vaishnava. Therefore, he did not have very good intelligence. And how can an unintelligent person be delivered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead? The Lord certainly tries to give all protection to his devotees who have given up everything for the sake of serving him. Another point in this verse is that attachment to Duragara Putrapta, home, wife, children, friendship, society, and love, is not the way to achieve the favor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One who is attached to hearth and home for material pleasure cannot become a pure devotee. Sometimes a pure devotee may have a habit or attraction for wife, children, and home, but at the same time wanted to serve the Supreme Lord to the best of his ability. For such a devotee, the Lord makes a special arrangement to take away the objects of his false attachment and thus free him from attachment to wife, home, children, friends, and so on. This is special mercy bestowed upon the devotee to bring him back home, back to Godhead. So the text again. Since pure devotees give up their homes, wives, children, relatives, riches, and even their lives simply to serve me without any desire for material improvement in this life or in the next, how can I give up such devotees at any time? That the living entity has to be attached is part of reality. The question is, what we're going to be attached to. Everyone is looking for happiness, and therefore whatever we perceive gives us happiness, we become attached to. Generally, we don't become attached to things that cause us misery. For instance, if you put your hand in the fire and it hurts, you generally don't get attached to putting it further into the fire. Oh, that feels really bad. Let me put it further in. Oh, it's getting worse. That's fantastic. But if a fluffy dog comes up to you and sniffles you, you start petting it and it starts... It says, oh, this feels nice. It's making a squeaky sound. Let me keep on petting it. So everyone's attached to something or another, a sound or a smell or a touch, something that gives one, feels good to oneself. Then we become attached to it. Now in the material world, we're going to become attached to something because we have to get happiness from something. So something's going to give us happiness sometime. And although it doesn't always give us happiness, but we always remember that happiness we got again and again, and we try to get it, that reproduce that happiness again. But as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Dayato Vishayam Pumsa, everyone is contemplating something. Every time we look at something, there's a contemplation. And if we like it, then that's what I was looking for. So we're looking around. Sometimes the contemplation is not very intense. And when we see something we like, we say, oh, that's it. That's what I want. I want that. And then Maya, by her mercy, she inspires us. She reciprocates with our intention, and she supplies us with the needed enthusiasm to become intensely interested in that object. It's called lust. In the material world, it's called lust, love. I'm in love, which means actually, usually it means I'm in lust. Oh my, I feel it so strongly. It's right. I can't live without you. And then when the lust goes down, then I can't live with you. No one says, I'm in lust with you. It would take away some of the romance from it. So the lust is there. Unfortunately, lust doesn't last. It goes up and down like a yo-yo. Sometimes one is very lusty and then the lust goes away. And then we're not interested anymore. Until lust comes up again. Then we fall in love again. But after a while, lust leads to greed. Which means if we actually get some satisfaction from something, then we want more of it. If there's some food that we like, then we want, even we eat it, and then we're satisfied for a few moments, And if we see someone else has more than we have, then we immediately get lusty again. Oh, why does this person have more than... I only got one lebdomen. Why did they give him two? No, the Supreme Lord, he doesn't love me. I'm being punished. I only got one. What did this person do to deserve two? Someone becomes greedy. And after a while, we can't satisfy our greed because it's not possible. As it says that there's enough for everyone's need, but there's not enough for everyone's greed. So even people who have billions of dollars, they feel insecure. I don't have enough. What happens if the stock market goes down a little bit or there's inflation? My $50 billion, maybe I'm in danger. I won't get two chapatis tomorrow. I need another $50 billion, then I'll feel a little secure. So everyone feels insecure. They want more and more and then still more. There's no end to the more. Even Krishna gets a little greedy because his greed is transcendental. And therefore, at Govardhan Puj, after they gave him lakes full of sweet rice and all unlimited puris and samosas, at the end, what did he say? Aniyor, aniyor, give me more, give me more. Until they gave him one tulsi leaf, and then he was satisfied because of the devotion of tulsi. So when one is not satisfied, then one becomes frustrated. I can't get satisfaction. Not only that, but one keeps on singing that song till the end of life. Why don't you just throw it out the window? That would be... Maybe it's trying to tell you something. And then one becomes frustrated and angry. And between the lust, the greed, the anger, there must be some justification for the whole thing. Some poet has to sing a song about my lust or my greed or my anger. So everyone can get the same emotions and feelings I have. It's called delusion. How great... someone else is lusty, but there's no one more lusty than I am. There's no one more greedy than I am. I'm on the cover of every magazine because of my greed. Even I see a baby with a lollipop, I grab it. No one can get anything without my happiness. Only by my mercy does any baby get a lollipop. Otherwise, I'd steal it all. And anger, as soon as I raise my eyebrows like Hiranyakashipu, the whole world trembles. Oh no, he's disturbed. We're not going to eat for 3 weeks. So one falls into this delusion. I'm the center of the universe. Everyone and everything depends upon me. And if there's any impediment to my satisfying my lust, my anger, my greed, then I'm going to cut down that impediment and destroy it. And then one forgets that one is temporary, that one is not going to be here forever. When the Roman empires, after they conquered vast tracts of land in Europe, and they were riding back to Rome with all the captured slaves, and all the gold and the jewels they captured from other lands. And everyone in Rome was cheering them, yes, he's our hero, he's bringing back everything we need here. But there would be always one person on the chariot with the emperor who was riding back in victory, whispering in his ear, you're a temporary. You're not going to be here forever. You're going to die. So he didn't get too carried away. Yes, I'm here forever. Usually the emperor's only lasted for 2 or 3 years at the most. And then someone came along, took his position. So attachment has to be there. either we become attached to the material energy, something of it, something that makes us feel good, because something's going to make us feel good. Every body that we've gotten, there's something that makes it feel good. Shrotram chakshu sparshanam cha, rasanam granam eva cha, adishnaya marakchanya vishayam upasevate. As soon as we get another body, according to our conception of life, what we think was going to make us happy. In other words, we're practicing now things that will make us happy. We're doing things that we think will make us happy, and we don't know that we have to come back again and get the results of that. Another opportunity, probably in a better body, to make us happy. Just like if you like to eat meat, which I don't think anyone here likes to do it, but say you like to eat meat, then what so much trouble eating meat? You have to go find an animal, you have to kill it, you have to cut it up, you have to let it dry out for some time, then you have to transport it, you have to cook it, you have to serve it, you have to have a plate, a knife, then you got to digest it. So many different difficulties. But if you become a tiger, there's no problem. You don't need a plate. You don't need a dishwasher. You don't need anyone to even serve your meal to you. You don't have to worry about cleaning up afterwards. All the vultures and the jackals will come and clean up for you. And not only that, but you'll have a raw food diet. Every tiger is on a raw food diet. So it's quite healthy. And you don't have to worry about indigestion. You have plenty of digestive power. And so it's, if you want to eat meat, the body of a tiger is certainly better than that of a human being. Everything you kill is probably organic. You don't have to pay for it. You don't have to wash your pores afterwards or before. Your mother didn't say, "Hey, little tiger, why don't you wash your pores?" It's ideal. It's instant. You don't have to say a prayer either. There's nothing separating you from the food. You get the food, you don't say, "Oh, my Lord, thank you. You're so kind." So the human form of life is meant for changing one's attachment from matter to spirit. Otherwise, one will have to come back in another form of life and try to enjoy the very things that we're attached to now, but in another form, which will make it easier to enjoy it. If you want to eat, sleep, mate, and defend, the human form of life is very bad. Is it not a very good body? People have to take pills to go to sleep. Then they have to take pills to wake up. Then they have to take a pill to counteract the pill that they took to go to sleep and the pill to take up, to wake up. And after that doesn't work, then they cut out whatever was causing the problem. And mating, so many problems mating. People worried about getting children. But you never find monkeys worrying about getting children. They have 20 wives and 300 children, and they don't have to pay any money for them. No money for the education, no money for the food, no money for shelter, nothing. It's all quite free. And defending, well, of course, we have to practice so much, but how many people can actually defend themselves? People have to practice the martial arts, but if you become a pig, you do the best you can. But your main defense is that you're in the sewer all day long, no one wants to get near you. Who wants to attack a person or anyone who's been in the sewer all day long? So they have their own kind of defense. But this is all due to our attachment. We get attached to something, we want to enjoy it. But the same thing is we try to become attached to Krishna and things in relationship to Krishna, then we can actually feel real affection, real happiness, real joy, real relief from our sufferings because we're trying to enjoy. Trying to enjoy causes so much suffering. And the amount of happiness is insignificant we get when we enjoy, and then we feel bad that we try to enjoy, and then we hanker again to enjoy again. So the amount of happiness is insignificant, and the amount of suffering caused by trying to enjoy and lamenting over the fact that we couldn't enjoy to the way we wanted to. In comparison to that, if one can get, as Maharaj Yashovdev says, Nanyan deho deha bhajam riloke kastan karman arhate vidbujam ye tapo dibyam putraka yena sattvam shudyat tasmai brahma sokyam tunantam. That if one can actually get happiness from the process of associating with Krishna, then that happiness goes on forever. It's unlimited and it goes on forever. We may not get it all at once, but if we get an idea, just like we chant Hare Krishna, that it's nitya, nitya, nava, nava, niyavana. We may not get the full effect, but we get some effect that this is one thing we can chant or sing. We don't get tired of it. It's not that we're in Harinam, like we'll be on the Padyatra, and someone says, can you sing another song, you know? What about the Beatles song, you know? Some people like the Beatles, actually. If we sing that, maybe we'll get a bigger crowd. No, we can go on singing the Hare Krishna mantra because it's spiritual, because Krishna is spiritual, and because we're spiritual, we can enjoy spiritual life forever. It goes on. We may not get the full effect, but at least we get a little effect. At least we realize that there is a fire there, even though we may be in the clouds, but we understand that still there's fire down below. And if we learn the art, just like after when you go out in book distribution or in Harinam, at first the mind's going all over the universe, looking at every corn, we used to be when we were walking on the in the countryside, looking at every corn, piece of corn that was growing, in every bridge. Every dog that was passing by and yapping at us. But then after some time, you think, well, maybe I should start thinking about listening and singing. And then after a while, you actually get attached to it. It sounds pretty good. And then you forget, you know, the time going by, and you're actually listening to the holy name and actually enjoying it. Of course, the city is a little bit more challenged. When you're walking by all the stores and say, hey, that's what I was looking for. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Pizza, wow, pizza. You gotta wait till Sunday. So one can grab the mind and pay attention. Then one can actually experience Krishna consciousness. Not that I was a Harinam and nothing happened. I was, you know, it was all boring and, you know, it was just, I'm happy. Because we were never on Harinam. We were on a shopping tour. And we had no money to buy anything. So if one can simply pay attention to the holy name, it is not that we have to give our family. We don't have to give up our children and wife, whatever, because these are all, in other words, we have to give it the idea that these are my husband, my wife, my children, my home. That these are only mine and Krishna is somewhere else. He has his house in Vaikuntha and I have my house here. And I share it with him. We have little tiny deities and I give him his place. As long as he doesn't complain, we give him a little water every day. No, Krishna is everywhere. No one can do anything without Krishna. He's in everyone's heart. We may think it's our wife, But actually, we can't even remember what our wife's name is unless Krishna tells us. Just like that story I told a number of times, that two men were discussing about the restaurant that they visited yesterday, how wonderful it was. And so one man says, do you know what the name of the restaurant was? He said, I can't remember it, but maybe you can give me a hint. It's like, you know, there's a flower, it's usually pink or red, and it smells really nice. And he said, maybe Rose. He said, yes. Hey, Rose, who's in the kitchen, what restaurant did we go to yesterday? So unless when Krishna gives the intelligence, then we can't even remember what our wife's name is or our husband. Everything depends upon Krishna. So we can't put Krishna out of the picture and actually have reality, be in reality. We have to give up our wife. We don't have to give up our children. We don't have to give up anything. These things will all be taken away from us because of time anyhow. It's just an imagination that these things belong to us. But in any case, while we're associating with these things, we should remember they're all in relationship to Krishna. Nothing goes on without Krishna's arrangement. And that's called Krishna consciousness. So as long as everything we see is in relationship to Krishna, then we're doing all right. Manasa, deho, geho, yo kishimora. My wife, my children, my mind, whatever I have, I'm offering to you. And then what life is perfect, even in household life. Then there's no difference between household life and renounced life because it's all Krishna conscious. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions?
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. Nice verse from Krishna. Then
yeah, there's more of them.
Then a very nice also purport from Srila Prabhupada, and you elaborate very good everything. I hope I could put this in practice.
I hope so too.
Hare Krishna. But my question is, or I would like to hear a little bit more about today, this appearance day of Bhaktivinoda Thakur Maharaj, and also...
I didn't say anything.
Yeah, that's why maybe...
anything can... I say will be a little bit more.
So, can you say something about...
Yes, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is one of our acharyas in disciple succession. And I guess we know him best because every day we sing songs by him. Gaur Aarti was written by him. The Jairata Madhava comes from him. So many songs come from him. So he's one of our acharyas who established the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, following the footsteps of Sri Rupa Goswami. And he tried to establish preaching all over the world by sending books to McGill University, for instance, the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And so we're following his footsteps. Most of our practice comes from Srila Rupa Goswami through our acharyas and disciple succession. So he's especially the acharya that established the preaching of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement under the direction of Lord Srila Rupa Goswami.
Jai Gauranga.
Anything? Yes, another.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for lecture. I wanted to ask... how can we or devotees who are practicing for some time or for some years this Krishna consciousness still they are not able to give up this attachments, this like in 262 in Bhagavad Gita, where it says that contemplation of some objects get to attachments. So how can we understand this?
Well,
or
because...
what can we do?
What can we do? Same thing we're doing already. Just keep on doing it. Just like if I asked you 30 years ago, were you attached to, like, for instance, any intoxication? Did you have or from eating certain things that we don't eat now, did you have any attachment for them?
Yeah.
Do you have attachment for them now?
I guess, I don't know. Sugar.
If I gave you a free ticket to go to McDonald's and eat all you wanted, would you be very happy?
To?
McDonald's. You heard of McDonald's?
No, thank you.
30 years ago, if I gave you 3 weeks free at McDonald's, would you be happy?
Probably yes.
So some of the attachments have gone away. How do they go away?
I don't know. Knowledge.
Just
I learned
knowledge.
That it's not
McDonald's
okay
is not so good. Maybe, you know, just by knowledge?
No, also prayers.
Prayer. So before you eat, you pray, please God, please don't send me to McDonald's. What happened between 30 years ago and now that you don't go to McDonald's? Anything happen?
Well, it happened, yeah. Like 10 years ago, I was on some conference, and then I realized that every living being, it's the same as I am, or like it's a soul. Starting from them, I became vegetarian. So, yeah.
So you got some knowledge, and then what do you eat now?
Prasadam.
Prasadam. Are you just a vegetarian or are you a Krishnarian?
Krishnarian.
Why? Which tastes better?
Because it's prasadam means Krishna himself, and I want to please also Krishna.
Which tastes better, Krishna prasad or just ordinary vegetables?
Of course, Krishna prasadam.
Yeah, so we get a higher taste. That's how we give up our attachment. So as we learn how to chant better, then we'll get a higher, Krishna will reveal himself and we'll get a higher taste. And then the other things we're attached to, we'll gradually forget about. We don't wake up in the morning and think about all the things I forgot about. But there's a lot of them we've forgotten about.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Anything else?
Questions from internet. Avaduta Rai Prabhu. First one. In Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.33 writes, Paramatma enjoined through the Jiva because the Jiva is the Tataksha Shakti of Lord. Question. What lower enjoyment of the Jiva is really enjoyable for Paramatma? I don't understand.
Well, everything for Krishna, everything is enjoyable. The example is used, if you look at your face in the mirror and make different faces, do you enjoy it? It's just a reflection, but you enjoy it. So the little tiny soul, Krishna, just like if you have a little dog or a cat. Now it's just a dog or a cat, but it goes meow, meow, you enjoy it. Because it's your dog or cat. So the Supreme Lord is the Supreme Father. He enjoys his little part and parcels. He has a lot of fun with them. Just like we have that little baby here. Every time the little baby goes, ah, meow, opens his mouth, everyone's enjoying. Crawling around. Hey, look at that. It's hard. It's a hard show to compete with. But it's just a little baby, but still everyone's enjoying. Yes.
Second one. When coming to the level of Brahma Bhuta, how a devotee can have at all realization of Brahman if he are disguised with Brahman and moreover he does not become one with Brahman?
What's that?
When coming to the level of Brahma Bhuta, how a devotee can have at all realization of Brahman if he are disgusted with Brahman and moreover he does not become one with Brahman?
Well, first of all, devotees don't, their Brahman realization is that everyone is part and parcel of Krishna. Everyone is spiritual. That's their Brahman realization. The impersonalists, when they merge in Brahman, all they think, all they see is light. And since they think they're the source of everything, they think they're the source of all the light. This is nothing else to see. But we don't recommend that you go there try and take my word for it. Don't try and go there, see what I said was true or not. But for a devotee, Brahman realization is to understand I'm part and parcel of Krishna. That's Brahman realization. You had a question?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Yesterday we had some work with cherries and we had like red hands. And then we spoke that all we see on deities, they have many times red this part, you know, and yeah. Is there any symbol or some explanation why?
They eat a lot of cherries too sometimes.
It's a serious question.
In Vrindavan, the ladies, they put on lac on their feet. You know what lac is? This red substance that they paint their feet with. It's a kind of mineral. Because in Vrindavan, because the air is very dry in Vrindavan, so the ground, the dust in Vrindavan is very dry. So in order not to have their feet dry out, they have to paint it with lac. But I don't think the ladies always paint their hands red. Only when they eat cherries do they become red. Or strawberries or something. But their feet are usually painted with lac.
From the culture.
Well, it's from the when you live in Vrindavan, it's just practical to do that. I think it's a kind of decoration for the ladies' feet, and also it's so they don't get dried out from the dust in Vrindavan. Okay. Kuala Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Shri Bhakti Vinod Thakur Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande.